crucial issues facing you and your family in our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
Catholic Connection, weekday mornings at 8 a.m. on 990 WDEO.
990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, celebrating 25 years of Catholic broadcasting and Ave Maria radio station.
Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I'm a professional life coach and author, the author of Love and Life and Sex Respect and the new Love Ed video discussion programs. I'm a Catholic speaker, and I'm broadcasting here today from Boise, Idaho, Salt and Light Radio in Boise. So if anybody is in the area, you can come today to the Idaho Catholic Women's Conference, where I'm going to be speaking along with Bishop Peter, Leah Darrow, and Sister Mary Eucharista. They have a wonderful conference today for all the women who can get to Idaho in the next couple hours, or maybe all of you that have already signed up. It's called Beloved. Beloved, being loved by God. And I'm going to give my talk, my fun, interesting, entertaining, and thought-provoking, and conscience-challenging talk, the Four Heart Healthy Habits of Holiness. So if you're in the area of the Boise Center in Boise, Idaho, come on over, and you can join the Idaho Catholic Women's Conference. So it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you to our host of today's show here, Salt and Light Radio. But when you call in today with your question or personal problem, you'll still call in to our Ave Maria Radio studios in Michigan. Keith is there to take your calls. Melissa's at the dials. So we'll run the show just as usual. It's just a little bit different environment for me. So give us a call. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. And the number to get on Mass Appeal today is the same as always, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Well, your calls will drive the show. I don't know what the topics are that you want to talk about today, but you're probably trying to overcome some challenge in life. Something might be weighing you down. Maybe you're trying to get out of a rut. Maybe you're trying to repair a distant relationship. Maybe you're trying to become a better spouse or change yourself because you know your spouse isn't going to change, so I might as well change me to live in peace. Or maybe you're just tired of being frustrated or angry or worried. So if you're struggling with any of those problems or anything else, maybe it's a spiritual problem. Maybe it's your relationship with God you want to strengthen. Give us a call here on Mass Appeal. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Tell Keith, when you call him, your first name and where you're calling from, and the topic of your question. And he'll put it on my screen all the way from Michigan over here to Idaho. And then I will know when you are ready to go on the air. Listen on the phone when I call your name. That means we're chatting on the phone, but everybody will be able to hear your question, and so many people will be helped by it as well. So give us a call at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. We've probably experienced some of those problems before. Many other people will offer you sympathy and prayer. Some of the listeners that I met last night at the talk that I was giving at the parish said that they start praying immediately for the callers that have certain or particular problems. So know that when you call in, you receive prayers and some free friendly advice. Now, I'm second oldest of nine children. We may have had some of those problems before. I'm the mother of five adult children, and so we may have had some of those problems before. But over the 20 years now on Catholic Radio, I've been able to offer some free friendly advice. Facing personal problems, we can explore your options. Maybe you offer some solutions, maybe some action steps you can take to at least console yourself or maybe to solve the problem. So give us a call. Let's improve our lives to be more like Christ so we can build his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. The number is 877 573-7825. Now, most of us know the great commandment, even if we don't remember all 10 of the commandments. Remember those two great ones in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22, where the scholars of the law were trying to test Jesus, and they said, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. He said, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. Well, this, yesterday's gospel and today's gospel take us even to a deeper challenge with that. Yesterday's gospel in Luke chapter 6, it said, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, and then you'll see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. So if we're going to be loving God with our whole heart, our whole mind, all our strength, we need to get out some of that junk. We need to grow in holiness ourselves and get that splinter out of our own eye. Well, how do we do that? Well, today I've been talking about these list of vices and virtues, and today I've brought this list for us to examine ourselves here to see, do we have any of these logs in our eye? So you might want to get a notepad and jot one down. Maybe you don't have any faults. Maybe you don't have any vices. But you might make a list of some of these vices that might apply to you, and maybe pick the three, and then we'll talk about the virtues we can develop that will help us overcome those particular vices. So when people see us, all they see is Jesus. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Okay, here they go. Here are some vices that we want to eliminate, some of the logs in our own eye, according to yesterday's gospel. One would be rashness, acting without thinking through the consequences. Another might be cowardice, failing to initiate action or to stay the course because of the what ifs, what if that, or because of that. That's cowardice. Laziness, failing to give the situation the attention and effort it deserves. Oh, whatever. We talked about that last night when we talked about raising youth. Greed is another vice, grasping material possessions beyond what we need. That extra trip to the discount store, you know. Okay, another vice could be envy, resenting the possessions or successes of others. I found myself envying my next-door neighbor's tomato plants a couple weeks ago. Like, oh, you shall not covet your neighbor's tomato plants. And so, hey, I'll trade you some pears for some tomatoes because your tomatoes turned out better than mine. All right, other vices we want to rid ourselves of so we can love God with our whole heart might be lust, overindulging in sexual pleasure, gluttony, overindulging in the pleasures of food and drink, despair, lacking hope that God will provide whatever you need to do His will. Maybe false humility is another vice, denying our abilities because of pretense or low self-esteem or false notions of humility. So a false humility, like, oh no, I'm not good enough, I can't do that. But you've got to remember, we're made in the image and likeness of God. We have all of His grace, and we can develop virtues. Another vice that you might check off as a log that you're trying to get out of your eye would be anger. You know, being overly displeased with a person or situation, or wrath, desiring vengeance, or apathy, not caring about the well-being of other people, like, I don't care, whatever. Vanity, admiring yourself too much, especially your physical appearance. Vainglory, excessively seeking attention, praise, and honor. Intellectual pride, thinking too highly of what you think you know. Cynicism, oh, that happens in old age a lot too. Not allowing yourself to be moved by goodness, truth, or beauty, and being cynical and negative about everything. Small-mindedness, thinking too little of yourself and resigning yourself to mediocrity. I'm going to stop there because I bet everybody has a couple vices already that they have identified that they might need to work on. So what virtues help us overcome our vices? That's an important thing to know, too. So in today's gospel, and this is in Luke again, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do what I command? I'll show you what someone is like who comes to me, listens to my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood came, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it because it had been well built. Okay, so we're going to build our lives on virtues. And don't worry, there aren't as many virtues as vices, and some virtues will conquer two or three or four vices. So virtues that overcome vices. We begin with some of the cardinal virtues and work through some of the moral virtues. So here we go. Think about these, and if you need a definition later, I'll keep these papers at my side. You can call in about those as you call in with your other personal problems. Which is a reminder, better tell you the phone number to call in. The number to get on today's Mass Appeal with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Okay, some virtues. Prudence conquers rashness and cowardice. Justice conquers greed, envy, and lust. That's fairness. Yeah, justice conquers greed, envy, and lust. Self-control conquers lust, gluttony, anger, and wrath. And courage conquers rashness, cowardice, apathy, and despair. Well, there are several more, but I'm going to wait a minute on those until after the break. Because before the break, I want to read a letter that I received from a Catholic doctor that listens to the show, and he was concerned about something I mentioned last week on the show, and he asked me to correct that about the effectiveness of the vaccination. So he said, I'm writing in regards to some comments, which I heard from you this morning on your radio call-in show. They were in response to an email, from a mother of a 14-year-old who's being required to be vaccinated in order to play on his high school sports team. But the mother feels strongly that he should not be due to reasons of conscience. And the 14-year-old father wants him to be vaccinated. So he says, you know, he's a physician with experience, a large family, you know, works at a college of medicine and at a VA hospital as well. He's on the front lines of the COVID pandemic. So he's concerned, rightly so, that everybody has the correct information. He said, this past week we buried one of our nurses in primary care. She was unvaccinated and died of COVID, he said. This week, he said, we're dealing with an outbreak of COVID in a homeless shelter for veterans where over half the vets now have COVID. So he said, I agree with you affirming the mother's rights of conscience, but he said, I was disturbed that I said, I didn't give enough to acknowledge the importance of including her husband in the decision, because he said this is not a matter of moral certainty, but one of prudential judgment. So he said it should include both parents equally. He also said that the efficacy of vaccines is different than what I said. He said, yes, we are, because I'd said we were seeing such a breakthrough, but he said it's true, we are seeing a significant breakthrough of the Delta variant in vaccinated people. But he said that Dr. Dave says that the vaccines remain highly effective in preventing serious disease. He said slightly more than 50% of the U.S. population is vaccinated, while 98%, he said, of those hospitalized with COVID are unvaccinated, and 99% of the fatalities are in the unvaccinated. So those are very different numbers than what I had last week. So he called to give everybody a good information here and some encouragement. He said boosting the immune system is certainly worthwhile, because I had mentioned that too. And he said, but I'm unaware of any reputable studies to date that demonstrate efficacy in preventing or treating COVID by this means, where he said it's clear that vaccination is highly effective in preventing death by COVID. So this is the facts from Dr. Dave. Thank you so much for sending that to us. As I mentioned last week, probably you never know what to believe. You know, the statistics that I had mentioned about the breakthrough and the vaccinations, and these are from somebody right there on the front line facing these cases. So find a trustworthy source. Again, use your conscience and make a decision in your best interest. If you're having to make a decision about a child, yes, this is a matter of prudential judgment, not necessarily black and white or right and wrong. And so both parents should be involved in that decision. So God bless you and hope that helps. You give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show, is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with some more virtues and with your calls in just a moment.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shield.
Are you fully convinced that what God has promised He is able to do in your life and in your family? If you're not convinced, you need to ask God, increase my faith, help me to grow in faith. Brothers and sisters, it's essential. The world around us is becoming more topsy-turvy. It's lost its moorings. We're not anchored in the truth. So take a look at yourself and say, where am I fuzzy in this area, or where am I definitely off track? You don't have to despair. You just need to say, all right, I see it. I'm going to turn to you, Lord, and ask that you would give me faith that I may see more clearly what's the right course to take. What are the right priorities to stand on? God is in Christ. His life, His death, His resurrection made your life eternally possible. It validates your life. You are worth something. No matter how deep of a sinner we are or how great of a sinner we are, if we hear the grace of God and respond to it and return, our life is infinitely valuable.
Sister Ann Shields gives you food for the journey. Weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
The Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. We have 2 hours of time together, so let's make the best of it. You call me, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. I'll give you some ideas to make your little world, or maybe the whole bigger world, a better place, one problem at a time. Looking at our problems in light of faith, hope, and love. Thanks for calling, Tom from Nebraska. You're up first here today. Welcome to the show, Tom. How can I help you today?
Hey, thanks for the show. So I really like a detachment. I'm attracted to that in many ways, except for one, and that is family heirlooms. As we go from generation to generation and the photographs get older, they seem to be more valuable. There's boxes of photos, there's newspaper clippings, and these go back, you know, some of these are starting to go back 100 years, and they're just boxes of photos.
Yeah.
And it seems to me nobody really seems to want them, but I don't see how we can throw those away. And I just really struggle because of the value of old pictures and articles and all these things. Wonder what you thought about that.
Yeah, that is a tough problem because if you throw away old photos, you're not throwing away your memories, but there's a family legacy and a family history that you'd like to preserve, even if the younger generation isn't appreciating it right now. So, but we don't want closets and closets of things and clutter and basement and attic, and they're going to degrade anyway, you know, they will maybe disintegrate. I know what some people are doing, and they are finding one of the young cousins or grandchildren to digitalize some of the important things. And then they can put, you know, some of the important pictures that somebody could put together, a family history that has important dates, important people, important pictures in it, and gather those things and put it either, you know, on a flash drive or load it up to a cloud somewhere, and have the all the people in the family have access to it so that they can utilize it when the kids have to write a report on their family genealogy, or we just want to go through memories. Another idea that people use, so we it aren't just, you know, like attached to things we don't use, is they take those out on certain holidays. It might be somebody's anniversary, it might be the day after Christmas or the night before Thanksgiving, and they go through those memories and tell stories about the family, and that helps pass on the legacy of the family as well. So it just depends on how much you have, how much space they're taking up, are they getting in your way, and if it's valuables rather than mementos. Sometimes it might be better off, you know, cashing it in and just taking a picture of it, you know, and put it as part of the family legacy, because sometimes it gets more valuable and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it loses value over time. So those are some ideas that you can use. But remember that if we do get rid of things, or if we do digitalize them, or even sell them to an antique dealer that gives us a lot of cash for it, remember that we don't want to let go of our family history. And it still is a way that we can stay attached to our parents and grandparents, but be detached from the possessions that they leave. So I hope that helps you, Tom.
It does. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for the call. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Welcome to our regular listeners, to new listeners, or people that are just turning across their dials. I'm broadcasting today from Boise, Idaho, Salt and Light Radio, rather than our Ave Maria studio, although the calls will go straight to Ave Maria studio in Michigan. I'm speaking today at the Idaho Catholic Women's Conference during my talk, The Four Heart-Healthy Habits of Holiness. But still call in, the same as always. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller today is Stephen from New Hampshire. Welcome to the show, Stephen. How can I help you today?
Hi. I recently had my 17-year-old son pass away.
Oh,
and he was talking about, you know, giving my love to Jesus. But
yeah.
It's really hard.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, it is really hard. Oh, my goodness. Well, your heart is broken right now. To bury a child, I know, is just a really, really hard thing to do. And we have to look at our Lord in maybe a different way. It's not like you feel like you have something to give. This is a point when you're grieving so deeply that you lost your son, is that you wouldn't want to invite the love of Jesus into your heart for consolation. First of all, Stephen, accept my sympathy at the loss of your 17-year-old son. I'm so sorry that he passed. And so when you think of giving to Jesus, when I say love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, right now all you have is probably an empty, broken heart. You're full of grief. You're full of sadness. You just can't imagine. I don't think anybody, unless you've buried a child like you just did or that I did a while back, can imagine what it's like to bury a child. When my parents buried my brother, they were, you know, both so distraught. My dad would just, you know, even call out at the wake. He'd say, no, it should be me in there. You shouldn't bury your son, you know. So it's such a hard thing to do. But at these moments is where Jesus comes closest to us. Jesus, who suffered on the cross and died for our sins, comes into your heart and fills it with consolation. He tells us that blessed are they who mourn, they shall be comforted. And what he does is give us first sympathy, but then he gives us strength. And so he's going to fill your heart with his love. So take out any, you know, regrets or self-pity or other things that are hanging out in your heart, and just give him your wounded heart. When I see a picture in my mind of Jesus' sacred heart with those thorns wrapped around it, it's probably at this moment that you have a sacred heart as well. So ask God to send his son Jesus to fill your heart with his love. And if you need, as you're processing this grief, you might just sit there and cry with Jesus and ask him to hug you. I've asked him to hug me so many times. Or maybe Mary can hold you. Maybe Jesus can sit in your lap. St. Joseph can have his big, strong shoulders and arms around you, and Mary can be holding your arm on the side or holding your hand, and just let the Holy Family embrace you and hug you and sit in your chair and cry. and they'll cry with you. They'll give you comfort, and they will give you strength. They will fill your heart with love. So let God love you in the way that He can fill your heart with love. Because it seems like right now, you don't feel like you have something to give. You give your wounds, and you let Jesus heal you. And that is the way that in deep grief like this, that you do love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. You offer it up to Him. And you can offer this pain and this sacrifice up for, for sinners and souls. First, you probably want to offer it up for your son that he gains quick entrance into heaven. Offer up some masses for him. Do some prayers. Say the St. Gertrude prayer, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, that he has a straight entrance. And then when you know that your son is delivered into the arms of Jesus and you receive the consolation of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, you can pray with your son to Jesus. You can pray with him. You'll have a connection to him. You'll see him more than you did when he was on earth, because he'll be there with you in your heart. So know that you'll never lose your son spiritually, because he'll always be with you in your heart. You know that we have hope in Jesus, that we will see all of our loved ones again in eternal life, and know that God is there to love you and fill your heart with his love, even though it's hard to even think of any other kind of love right now. So let him love you, Stephen. God bless you in your grief. Thanks for the call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. Give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. And we'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
Two million unborn children have been killed in abortion. Let us honor these abandoned children. Saturday, September 18th, the National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Babies. Join me, Monica Miller, Dr. Janet Smith, and abortion survivor Claire Colwell at the Graves of Aborted Babies in Michigan, September 18th. For all services, see abortionmemorials.com, abortionmemorials.com.
Generational Sins, St. Joseph Festival, Right to Life event, and helping students study abroad. Hi, this is Vanessa Denha-Garmo giving you some highlights of the topics for this weekend's Epiphany program. Joe Boggs joins me to talk about the Rise from the Ashes pilgrimages, and John Mansour joins me to tell us about the Stride for Seminarians event coming up. Listen this Saturday at 11:30 and 3 on Sunday. Epiphany on Ave Maria Radio.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Today is World Suicide Prevention Day. Experts in Finland report that the risk of death from suicide within a year after an abortion is more than 7 times higher than the risk of suicide within a year after childbirth. Sometimes the mother sees suicide as the only way of being reunited with her child and escaping the daily pain that the abortion brings. I deprive my child of life, she thinks, and therefore I don't deserve my own. But while abortion ends the life of a child, God's powerful grace enables the life of that mother to go on. As she regrets striking out at the life of her child, she also realizes she has no right to strike out at her own life. Both lives belong only to the Lord. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I'm a certified life coach and author, a speaker, and I've been giving out free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective for over 20 years now on Catholic Radio. I have a master's degree in health education, an honorary doctorate in humane letters, teaching certificates in health science, theology, and physical education. I've taught religious ed at every level from pre-K through adult education. And And throughout my career, I've defended the truth of love and life and debated leaders from the ACLU and Planned Parenthood and Seekers, defending the dignity of love and family and the truth. Give us a call with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out God's love in today's crazy world. The number is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. We're talking about yesterday's gospel that asked us to get the log out of our eye, and today's gospel that tells us to build our foundation on a rock. And the logs were some of those vices, and the foundation is foundation of virtues. And their vices can be conquered and transformed into virtues because we are set free by Jesus Christ. We're set free by the truth. We're purified by suffering. We're strengthened by grace, and we work to practice good habits. So conquering a vice doesn't take anything away from us. It doesn't even take pleasure away from us. It just takes away our false, distorted vision of ourselves. We have nothing to lose but our slavery to that vice. You know, so because of that, one virtue might conquer several vices. And I mentioned what prudence, justice, and courage and self-control conquer. Now I'm going to look at humility, obedience, and compassion. Humility can conquer a vice of pride, vanity, or vainglory that we defined earlier. Obedience can conquer laziness and pride. The talk I gave last night about helping our youth navigate this strange new world. We talked about laziness and pride in our youth, and that's keeping them from the work ethic that made this country strong. So obedience is something that we teach and practice ourselves. Obedience to God, obedience to our schedule, obedience to our bosses. So obedience can conquer laziness and pride. And compassion conquers greed, envy, pride, and anger. There's a big one. Compassion can conquer greed, envy, pride, and anger. So think about developing some of those virtues. And if you need help with that, give me a call. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is Heather from Florida, listening on Sirius XM 130. Welcome to the show, Heather. You're on the air now, Heather. What is your question today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question, I kind of have a situation. My son and his ex-girlfriend, they have my grandchildren. My youngest grandson passed away.
Oh, Heather, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Sorry. And then after he passed away, both of the parents became really bad drug addicts.
Oh, my goodness.
The state Child Protection Services has taken the other two children. And the oldest one is not biologically ours, even though we've raised him since he was 3 months old. They gave him to his biological father, who hasn't really been in his life at all. And then my other grandson, my biological one, is in foster care. And I can't get him out of foster care unless my son is not living in my home. So I pretty much have to put him out on the street. And he is a drug addict, but I feel like I'm turning my back on my child. But I have to do it to save my grandchild. So I've said some really mean things to my son because he won't get out. And I feel like he's not trying to help me save his son. And I feel like I haven't always been perfect. I haven't always followed God's rule, but I try. You know, I really try. So what's something I can do to kind of help me keep the faith here that God is trying to help me and things will work out? Because I keep telling myself that, but then, you know, I feel like
bad.
I'm stuck.
Yeah. And are you Catholic, Heather?
Yes, I was raised in the Catholic Church.
Okay, if you're raised in the Catholic Church, you're looking for that faith, that hope, with something to hang on to, and it's such a difficult situation. My sympathy to you on the loss of your grandson. My sympathy to you as his parents becoming drug addicts. My sympathy to you at the situation that you're in, that you have such a horrible choice to make. But I'm going to make a couple suggestions to you. The first thing to do when we have any regrets about anything, or we want our soul as clean and full of grace as possible when we're making decisions like this, is to make a good confession. On Saturdays, there are usually confessions in most parishes. And so to make a good confession, even if you have to confess regrets from the past or different vices that might not necessarily be mortal sin, everything that's keeping you from working in union with God to solve your problems would help. So confess your mortal sins first. You know, it may be times that you miss Mass or something like that. And confess your venial sins and vices. Just have a really good cleansing confession. Even if you want to make an appointment, go on the side or get in line Saturday afternoon. A good confession cleanses our soul, and it helps heal us of some of these wounds and damages caused by some of our own sins, let alone some of the effects of original sin. So go ahead and make a good confession, and you'll walk out of that confessional, do your penance in church, and feel different. You will start out feeling differently. And then I might suggest, do you have a rosary, Heather? Do you have a rosary?
I do.
Okay. Take the time then to pray the rosary and let our Blessed Mother, you know, just tug on those strings of Jesus for you. And she appeals to him well. She'll bring everything that you offer and perfect it. Sometimes we think our offerings to God are not perfect, and they aren't. But the Blessed Mother will perfect that for you. And so ask her to help you and guide you. Pray a rosary with a sincere heart, even if it's probably the sorrowful mysteries, whether or not it's Friday. I know it's Saturday and we usually pray the joyful, but you might want to pray the sorrowful mysteries. Just to take your heart through that sympathy and compassion that you need to move ahead with the situation that you're in, and ask God then to give you the strength that you need. Then you'll be stronger on the inside from our Lord's grace. And then you can make simple decisions. For example, can you get your son some help through Catholic Social Services or Catholic Charities that they can find him a place to live, even if it's a rooming house? Or is he ineligible to get in there because of his drug habit? Can he stay with a friend? You know, where can you help find him a place to live? And then you can be able to, you know, have him not there. You can get the custody of the child that you want to take on as a foster child to get the family back together. And even if he is, if you can't find him a place, you know, do your best. He might be able to find one. My, unfortunately, I have a brother who is a drug addict, and he knows how to get his way around, find a place to stay. It might even be in a, you know, a woods or a neighborhood. He knows places to stay because, unfortunately, a lot of brilliant people are drug addicts, and they can get their way around. They can find their way. And I think in a, you know, a decent setting in the USA, he could be able to find his way around or find some help that he needs. So don't feel like you're turning your back on him. You're helping him see the reality of his choices and the situation that he's in. It might be the wake-up call that he needs so that you can care for those grandchildren and get them back and maybe get this family back together. Thanks for the call, Heather.
When you talk about the Reformation, you often hear it talk of five solas. Sola Scriptura, Sola Fide, Sola Gratia, Solus Christus, and Soli Deo Gloria. Catholics have no serious problem with Solus Christus or Sola Gratia. The problems are with Sola Scriptura and Sola Fide. Catholics will maintain that Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, is itself unscriptural. Where in Scripture does Scripture refer to itself as the only infallible authority that we have? It's also illogical to say that you stand on Scripture alone presupposes that you know what Scripture is. And frankly, we don't know what Scripture is because it's a tradition that we've inherited. We don't establish it. We know what counts as Holy Scripture because Catholic bishops detected that certain texts were inspired by God.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
There are many Bible quotes that I just love. Psalms always seems to calm me down. I tend to be a stressed person. And as parents, we pass on our habits to our kids, the good and the bad. One of my favorites is Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. When things get chaotic in my life, and they do, I need to remind myself to meditate on that phrase and repeat that God is in control. And boy, am I grateful. There's no way I can live this life without Him. And because kids are the greatest imitators, they can pick up on this practice as well. I hope my daughter does. We live in a busy world, and sometimes we must be still in our body and mind and pray that God calms our soul and fills our heart with His love. It is by calming our mind that we find clarity. It is in the silence we hear God's voice. So when the noise overwhelms you, as it often does me, be still and know that He is God. This has been a Christ Center Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith the best you can in today's crazy world. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. We've been chatting between calls here on some of the good news virtues, a virtue that can conquer several vices. I've got a couple more for you. Generosity conquers laziness, envy, and greed. Generosity conquers laziness, envy, and greed. So that's interesting. When you start giving things away, you might not want stuff as much. And you might not be greedy and hang on to things when you become more generous. And conquers laziness. Let me think about that a little bit. How generosity conquers laziness. Yes, you have to get up and do something and give to others instead of saying, oh, this is just how I am. Honor, the virtue of honor, conquers false humility and vanity. Honoring God, honoring the way that He created us, and honoring even ourselves and our own dignity rather than beating ourselves up mentally or that negative self-talk that's really false humility or vanity, thinking that we are better than we are. But honor, just that honor and dignity that God gives us can conquer those. All right, you give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. Our next caller is Susan from Florida. Welcome to the show, Susan. You're on the air now. What's your question?
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I was just listening on the radio as I was driving this morning, and you were talking about, is it Dr. David that's saying that the vaccine is okay? And I have such mixed emotions about that. I have friends that are Catholic that are PhDs, and they said they've studied this, you know, about viruses their whole life, and they say, do not take this vaccine. And then you have people like our bishop and our pope saying to take it, and there's aborted fetuses in this vaccine, and it, they say, oh, it's just a little bit, but that's like being a little bit pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, and that is the dilemma of everyone, that Catholics are using their conscience, their best prudential judgment to make that decision. One of the vaccines was, I would say, stewed, kind of like created or tested in aborted fetal cells, and another one was created from a line of aborted fetal cells. So that is something that Catholics find disgraceful and undignified and in destruction of the human person to participate or cooperate in abortion. And so many people, because of that reason, their conscience is telling them to stay away from the vaccine at all. We don't want any participation whatsoever. However, when certain bishops and when the Pope told people to be vaccinated, he was doing so thinking of the health of the person, the life of the person, to save the life of the person that is alive now being a greater good, and the good of all mankind, out of kindness and charity, to get vaccinated to help from spreading the disease to other people, because they say that that because no one directly participated in an abortion when you are getting the vaccine. So that is their particular reasoning of why it's okay. One place that we can trust is the Bioethics Center, the National Bioethics Center. Father Tad has some information on his site that help us look at our conscience and help us look at the truth and help us look at what really is sinful. Are we participating in this sin or not? And it helps us make our own decision. Also, at AveMariaRadio.net, the producer of this show, Al Crestis' producer, Matt, had done extensive research on a number of vaccines that were out there and what relationship they had to aborted fetal tissue. And so if you want to go to AveMariaRadio.net, there's some vaccine research there. And then, as you say, Susan, there are other Catholic doctors that have investigated the vaccines themselves and the virus themselves. And so you're right. Everyone is coming up with a different opinion, a different application. And Dr. Dave, when he wrote to me, was writing from a person who is there on the front lines that has buried one of his nurses in primary care. He's treating COVID every day. He believes that the vaccine is safe. He believes that the breakthrough cases are more of unvaccinated than vaccinated. So with all the different information that we are receiving, we need to make the best judgment that we can. And so there are many good Catholics that have received the vaccine, many good Catholics that have used their conscience to refuse the vaccine. So we're just asking you to do the best that you can in forming your conscience and make the best decision that you can in your best interest, because ultimately you have to stand before God and live with your conscience. So there is a lot of information out there, and you're right, it's hard to know what to believe because we see contradictory information. But I just wanted to let you know today what Dr. Dave sent me, because he's right there at the front lines, and he wanted to, help us to know the statistics there. So check out the information, make your decision, and God be with you. But I think one of the things we want to rid ourselves of is the spirit of fear, the spirit of hate, the spirit of dissension. People who decide to get vaccinated should not be hating people who don't get vaccinated. People who don't get vaccinated should not be condemning the people who do get vaccinated. And all of us should not be living in the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is not a medical problem or a health problem or a political problem or a social problem. The spirit of fear is a spiritual problem. And so we have to stay very close to God, besides informing our conscience as well as we can with the science that is available. Stay close to God and live close to Him, whether it's developing a new virtue, overcoming our vices, trying to change the world, make the world a better place, make ourselves a healthier person, take our own responsibility for our health. So we have some choices to make ourselves to live as God wishes us to live. So I hope that helps everybody who's still confused. And there's not a pat answer. There's not a right or wrong or a moral obligation, although some bishops have said that it is a moral obligation to do so. Even at the Bioethics Center, they'll say it's important that you use your conscience in the information that you have. So I hope that helps you on this difficult topic. Thanks for the call. All right, we're going to our break now. Time for you to call 877-573-7825. We'll be here with Mast Appeal for another hour and 15 minutes, offering free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective right after this message.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, we revisit a fundamental question that is often asked and often not well understood. What exactly is meant by the different rites of the Catholic Church? How and why are they different?
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. I was just looking up for my paper, and I'm broadcasting today from Salt and Light Radio, and I don't have that paper with the number on it, so good thing it's in my brain, back in my long-term memory here. So, yeah, 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. Our next caller is Doug from Ohio. Welcome to the show, Doug. I was looking forward to your question when I saw it on the board. How can I help you today?
I just wanted to add something to the show. I believe in the creation theory, to tell you the truth, because I think that when Jesus said, he said, whoever does my Father's will would get win enter heaven, I believe that he is the only wise, and I believe that I'm doing as well. I mean, I've looked for this all my life, and I think I found it. I don't believe too many people believe in him today, in this day and age. I don't know. Go ahead.
You're saying people don't even believe in God and that he's the creator, you're saying?
I don't believe there's many people that really believe that there is a... I mean, most people, I'm not saying everybody, mm-hmm. I think most people don't believe that they're in the creation theory in this world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you do. And Catholics are certainly welcome to believe that. The Catholic Church doesn't hold an official position on creation or evolution because God can do anything he wants. If he wanted to create the earth in 7 days, he could have. If he wanted to take 7,000 years, he could have. But we accept that creation story is written, in the Bible, that it can be a story that we can interpret we don't have to deviate from the church teaching at all. Even if it was, a big bang, it doesn't contradict the fact that somebody had to cause that big bang. Divine intervention made that happen. And nothing could have banged if God didn't create it first. And so Pope Benedict XVI has said the evolution in nature is not opposed to the notion of creation because evolution presupposes the creation of beings that evolve. And so there's not an opposition there. And Pope Francis has spoken about it as well. And so the scientific idea that everything began at a moment of time is also consistent with the idea that there's a personal creator, God, who spoke the world into existence in a moment of time. And, we read this account in Genesis, and it can be consistent with science. So there's no opposition there. But I think what you're also saying, Doug, is that there are so many people that don't believe in God, and science is their God, and they create their science lessons out of information rather than acknowledging someone had to get that started. Is that what you're trying to say, that people don't believe in God as the creator at all?
Well, some people do. I'm not sure. I don't know. I can't put a point on it, but I don't really know how many people, because I don't know people's mind. I'm just saying that in this world, I don't believe that most people in this world believe in God, a creator God. And that's my opinion. I saw a movie over the weekend. It's called The Seventh Sign. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Okay. No, I haven't seen that. So I'm not familiar with that movie, and I don't know exactly what it does. But I know that it's okay, you know, as a Catholic to believe in creation, and evolution could be part of that belief. But I agree with you, too, that a lot of people today do not even believe in God as the creator. Statistics show that all the people that, many, many people who have been raised Catholic that have left the church or that have left a Christian church have become what they call the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, that they don't believe in anything. Some people just have drifted away, and some people don't trust any information except whatever they think. They treat themselves as if they are God, and so they're not trusting in the fact that there is a creator. They don't know that there's a God who loves us. They're rather lost in terms of trying to figure out the meaning of life. So it's almost back to the neo-pagan days, a day where people had to make up the meaning of life based on what they could see. And so back in days where the different natives of different continents would think that the sun was God because it was all powerful, or the wind was God because it was all powerful, or the water was God because it was all powerful, and then they would worship those. They'd worship what was created rather than the creator. So in today's confusion and rejection of God, it's created a whole series of problems, not just lack of belief in meaning in life, but confusion about science and the beginning of the world as well. But go ahead, keep believing in God, keep believing in creation. That's a good thing, and that is what we can believe as Catholics. So thank you for the call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show for the next hour is the same as it was the first hour. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. I'm broadcasting today not from my home studio or not from Ave Maria Radio in Michigan, but from Salt and Light Radio in Boise, Idaho. I'm here in Idaho to speak at the Idaho Catholic Women's Conference. So anybody out in the Idaho area that is not signed up yet, I think Mass is starting right now with Bishop Peter. Leah Darrow is going to be speaking, and I'll be speaking when I get over there, as well as this afternoon Sister Mary Eucharista will be speaking at the beloved Idaho Catholic Women's Conference today here in Boise, Idaho. So thank our host today, Salt and Light Radio, for hosting our show. We will be back for our second hour of Mast Appeal in just a moment. We'll talk about a couple more virtues that overcome vices and take your calls. So I'm going to ask who's still on the line to hang on. We still have Aaron, Rhea, and Tim on the line, and you can call too. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. Back in a moment.
How does a TV personality, author, publisher, and mother of eight find time to listen to God? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Join me on A Place of Peace when Danielle Bean tells how she is trying to become an everyday mystic. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. President Biden is calling the Texas heartbeat ban unconstitutional. Saying so may not make it so, but U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland has filed suit against Texas. He is attempting to use the Clinton-era 1994 FACE Act as premise for this new lawsuit, something criticized as more show than substance. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris invited abortionists to the White House to celebrate the demise of those lives lost to abortion. One Texas abortionist tried to say that the Texas abortion law, now 10 days old, threatens lives. The Seventh Circuit says Indiana restrictions on telemedicine chemical abortions are likely to survive court challenges. The reproductive procedure is easily shown as four times more dangerous than elective surgical abortions. This is Life News Radio.
Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the Church or her most vulnerable children. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. churchinneed.org.
Norma McCorvey was the real person behind the legal pseudonym Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade. We can now know Norma's third child as Shelley Lynn Thornton. She is McCorvey's then unborn daughter that attorneys used to create the legal myth in court that women needed legal abortion over Texas law banning abortion back then. Shelley Lynn Thornton was adopted and now tells how she spoke with Norma McCorvey, her biological mother, before McCorvey died 4 years ago. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Weekdays at 10 a.m., there's more to life.
Building trust.
Struggling with questions of trust? Having a hard time overcoming a trust that's been damaged or broken? We'll put you on the path toward healing.
Weekdays at 10 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
The first and oldest Catholic radio station in the country, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, an Ave Maria radio station.
Appeal, our second hour now. This is the show where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Give us a call with your question or personal problem. You decide what the topics are today. We've had some pretty interesting ones so far. So, we've got an hour here for free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Welcome to our new listeners that just joined us this hour. This is Colleen Kelly Mass. I'm a life coach, an author, and a speaker. I've been working for the Church, for God, for a long time, my whole career. He keeps calling me, and I say yes. He calls me to do something else, I say yes. He calls me, I say yes. I'm certainly not the Blessed Mother. When He calls me, I don't just say, oh, let it be done to me according to Your Word. I say, are You sure, God? Me? Are You sure You want me to do that? So I'm not as holy as Mary, but I do say yes to Him as often as I can with my human and spiritual discernment using my conscience. So I'm here to help you today. I'm the author of Love and Life and Sex Respect and Love Ed, and I'm here to speak today my Four Heart Healthy Habits of Holiness keynote address for the Beloved Conference presented by Salt and Light Radio in Boise, Idaho at the Idaho Catholic Women's Conference. It's a pleasure to be here. It was great to be here last night to talk to so many. We had a full house here when I spoke on how to help our youth navigate this strange new world. We had youth ministers, parents, grandparents, all sorts of listeners and new people there at a wonderful parish there, figuring out our strategies. I gave them several strategies for helping our youth be strong enough to change the world. So give us a call with your question or personal problem and drive this second hour of the show right now, 877-573-7825. First hour, we were talking about some of the vices because yesterday's gospel told us to get the log out of our own eye, and today's gospel tells us to build our foundation on rock. So on rock, we want to build the foundation of our soul, of our life, on virtue. So we're talking about some virtues that we can practice and develop that will conquer several vices at once. So we're going through that list. We have a few more left. Great-heartedness is a virtue. Great-heartedness. Great-heartedness conquers false humility, pride, cowardice, small-mindedness, and despair. Wow. I think that's like magnanimous charity is probably what I've called it before. That conquers a lot of vices. So if you have a false humility, like putting yourself down, whereas God says you're made in my image, so if you're practicing false humility just to get out of stuff or put yourself down or listen to that negative self-talk from the evil one, or maybe great-heartedness can conquer pride where you think you're better than you are, or maybe great-heartedness can conquer your cowardness. Are you a chicken? You talk yourself out of stuff. You don't do what you really need to do. You aren't the best that you can be because of cowardice. So working on great-heartedness, a step at a time, doing more, being more, praying more, giving more. Okay, great-heartedness can also conquer small-mindedness. Small-mindedness is thinking too little of yourself or resigning yourself to being mediocre at stuff. Well, I'm just going to be mediocre my whole life. Well, great-heartedness, the virtue of great-heartedness, can conquer that small-mindedness. You're not meant to be mediocre. You're meant for greatness. God gave you life in abundance. He came to show us how to live. He died on the cross for our sins and opened the gates of heaven. So great-heartedness can conquer some of that small-mindedness and mediocrity that we struggle with. Great-heartedness can also conquer despair. Sometimes we just want to give up, but we ask God to fill our heart with greatness. We fill our heart with great love. We act in a loving way to help our neighbor and to serve God in the best way that we can. And that can conquer despair, because we can act ourselves into feeling better. We can't always feel ourselves into acting better. You don't have to wait till you feel good or feel like doing something to do the right thing. We have a brain and a will, and we don't have to make all our decisions based on our feelings. And a lot of people need to learn that today. So that's another one of those virtues that we can learn that will conquer several vices. A couple more on the list. We'll get to those as the hour proceeds. But for now, give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is Aaron. You've been waiting since last hour here at South Dakota, a truck driver listening on iHeartRadio. Thanks for calling, Aaron. How can I help you today?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have kind of an odd question, I guess.
Okay.
I was born and raised Jewish, but I was also baptized Catholic as an infant. And being raised Jewish, we had all those holidays, you know, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Catholic now, mm-hmm. And have been since 21. But I wonder what happened to all the old traditions. If we were supposed to model Christ, Christ actually went through all those traditional holidays and stuff like that, like Passover. And, you know, being that he was you know, the second Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Where has all the tradition gone, and why hasn't it bridged the gap into Christianity?
Mm-hmm. Okay, good questions. Actually, when you said you were Jewish, I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood, so I feel very comfortable. I've been to bar mitzvahs, Jewish weddings. I've celebrated Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Hanukkah. So I felt right at home when you called. And I was looking to see some of that tie over. You know, if you study some of the teachings of, like, Dr. Scott Hahn and many of the wonderful scripture scholars, you will see how Dr. Hahn connects the Old Testament with the New Testament and how the New Testament is fulfillment of the New. So, for example, we don't have burnt sacrifices as much. We have a new sacrifice because Jesus completed that. So our sacrifice of the Mass replaces the burnt offerings that, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the fathers had. We still have Ten Commandments. We still follow the creation story and theology of the body. But I think you make a good point about some of the beautiful Jewish traditions. Why don't we carry those over? Well, some of them were carried over in the early years of the church, that people would practice their Jewish traditions and then add on to it the Christian traditions. And so there's nothing actually wrong with that, with celebrating and bringing some of the Jewish traditions through. But many of them have been replaced by Christian traditions, by the Catholic, the generations of Catholicism that have been here that have they maybe don't understand or don't even remember or don't practice anymore those original traditions because they've been replaced by those that are particularly those of the Christians of today. So there's nothing wrong with celebrating Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, but we move ahead to the celebration of the Mass, the celebration of all seven sacraments, to the celebration of all, you know, the changes of life that we go through, you know, the sacraments of marriage and First Communion and things like that. So it's not to disregard those, it's to move forward from then with a new kind of celebrations and sacrifices that reflect Christianity and reflect Jesus Christ, not to deny that the ones of the Old Testament aren't valid. So thanks for the call. God bless you. And it's good to talk to somebody who is familiar with Jewish traditions, like the same ones I grew up with. Actually, one of my neighbors did become a Christian, but many of them are still Jewish. So thanks for the call. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is a call-in show. You call in, and the show happens. People listen to your calls, and they're happy that you called because they probably have the same problem but couldn't call today. So they say that they learn. I want to have read an inspiring story that I thought would give us some encouragement about never giving up today before our first break here while we're waiting for your calls at 877-5-PEP-TALK. And it's a story of an older man who was broke, and he was living in a tiny house, and he owned a beat-up old car, and he was living off of a Social Security check of $99. This is a while back. At 65 years of age, he decided things had to change. He wasn't going to keep living like this at 65, so he thought about what he had to offer. He was thinking about what his gifts were, which is what we should all be thinking about. How can I offer my gifts? And sometimes, how can I capitalize on my gifts? So his friends raved about his chicken recipe, and he decided that this was the best shot at making a change in his life. So he left Kentucky and traveled to different states to try to sell his recipe. And he told restaurant owners that he had a mouth-watering chicken recipe. He offered the recipe to them for free, just asking for a small percentage on the items sold. And it sounded like a good deal, but most of the restaurants would not do it. He heard no over 1,000 times, and even after all these rejections, he didn't give up. He believed his chicken recipe was something special. So he got rejected 1,000 times more before he heard his first yes. And that one success, Colonel Hartland Sanders changed the way Americans eat chicken. Kentucky Fried Chicken, popularly known as KFC now, was born. So remember, never give up and always believe in yourself despite any rejection you might experience. All right, if you've experienced some rejection or you're feeling hurt, let's look at what virtue, maybe humility, we need to look at and see. Or maybe it's justice that we need to work on. When we face our hurts, we have to look at these feelings that we have and figure out what do we need to do to right this wrong or to help ourselves adjust to it. So we'll be talking about virtues today and whatever your calls are about. So you give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's Mast Appeal is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And we'll be back to chat with Raya from Michigan and Gary and Teresa. Oh, Tim's off the line. We'll be back to talk to everybody who's on the line right after this message.
62 million unborn children have been killed in abortion. Let us honor these abandoned children. Saturday, September 18th.
the National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Babies. Join me, Monica Miller, Dr. Janet Smith, and abortion survivor Claire Colwell at the Graves of Aborted Babies in Michigan, September 18th. For all services, see abortionmemorials.com, abortionmemorials.com.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Do you ever just feel off, but you don't know why? Maybe everything seems fine, but you just feel down or disconnected. Well, you're in luck, because I've got just the thing to help you get your mood back on track. A new study by Texas A&M found that making small changes, like reminding yourself to smile more, can actually have a significant impact on your overall mood. Researchers caution that they don't mean to suggest that a person can smile their way to happiness, especially if someone is dealing with serious emotional problems. But they say the study is important because it highlights just how much our emotions take their cue from things like body posture or facial expressions. So go ahead. Give yourself permission to smile. It might be just what the doctor ordered. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
That's pretty peaceful music, calming. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Riyad from Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 30. Welcome to the show. What question do you have today?
Yes, hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to share, like, I took care of my mom and dad when they passed away, especially my dad lasted 3 months in 2001, and my mom, I was able to take care of her for 22 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Was
she an invalid that long? She was an invalid that long?
Well, my dad died because, you know, they mistreated him inside the hospital. When I came down, she had a massive stroke. When I came down, I said, he's not doing well. He's not breathing well. But they're like, no, he's fine. Then the next day I come in, he's gone. And I was very new at it in 2001. Didn't even know really what was a stroke. I think people need to educate themselves a little bit more about that. You know, what is a stroke, and don't trust the nurses and doctors what they tell you. You demand to go to ICU. I didn't even know what's an ICU. They kept them in his room. So when my mom ended up with Parkinson a year before him, her hand started trembling a little bit, and eventually it got worse, and they gave her 5 years to live, but she stayed 20 years. At least 20, 23 years with me. I refused to put her in a nursing home. I kept her in my house. I took care of her. And when she ended up in a rehab, they called her to end up being like for a 3 weeks or 4 weeks for something simple. And I was in and out all the time, and she ended up in a ventilator. And she ended up being on a trach and a feeding tube. And I refuse to kill her because, you know, I mean, basically you're killing her, you know, they're telling me to end her life. And I said, I can't do that. She's still alert. She's still awake. She's still looking at you. She's here. I can't play God. I can't tell you how many times they try to do this to me. And I refused to do that. I took care of her at home. I changed her diapers. I showered her. I did everything.
Oh my goodness.
One day, on March 4, I decided, I said, I'm worried because here in Michigan, Governor, she won't let nobody goes in there when there's somebody in the hospital. And I said, I'm on there all the time and whenever I can before the epidemic, and they would like neglect her. I said, I don't know what to do. I cannot let her go to the hospital, and I'm not there. So let me see if I can give her a vaccine. And that was March 4. 9 days later, she died. She was supposed to get a second one.
Mm.
And so that was devastating for me. I kind of, like, blamed myself a little bit about it.
Did the best you could with the information you had. You can't beat yourself up about that.
I just keep blaming myself about it. Because I should have never gave it to her, you know, and she was in my house, but I don't know. It's just because I was worried when she ended up in the, in the hospital, like for a few days, they won't let me in. They won't look at it. So look, she doesn't even speak the language. I need to be there. You know, they won't. It's a joke. You know, here in Michigan, it's a Democrat.
I'm sorry your experience was so difficult with that, Rehad, but you really can't blame yourself for her death. You took care of her for 23 years. You made the best decision that you could with the information that you had, and so you certainly had not set out to do her any harm. You only set out to do her good, to help her, to do what you needed to do according to, you know, what the doctors were telling you. So don't carry any guilt with yourself. I can't absolve people from sins, but since that wasn't a sin, I can just ask you not to feel guilty about that, because you were doing what you thought was the best thing for your mom. So how long ago did she pass then, Riyadh?
Yeah, this year, March 4.
This year, March 4.
March 13. Mm-hmm. And she died on a Saturday, just like my dad. They were both devoted to the Blessed Virgin, and they both died on a Saturday. She took them home on a Saturday.
My message is that
I want people to know that, please, it's not an option to take care of your parents. You have to do it. It's not an option. You can't just dump them in a nursing home. It's just like a parent's not an option to take care of their children. And your caller just prior to me said that people don't believe in God. I think because he sees so many no empathy, you know, around, that people are like kind of loose. They may say intellectually I believe in God, but they really don't. You know, when they dump people in a nursing home, causing abortion. You know, I think even Pope Benedict said this once. He says the most dangerous thing in the world right now, there's absence of God in people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they, like you said, it's science becoming God to them. But for me, it's like even replacing children with pets.
I see that a lot too.
That's the secret society, in that they're using pet as their own children, and that's another form of an abortion. I need people to wake up about that.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, thank you so much for your input on that and the call to take care of your parents. We are obligated to do that. I know in many Asian countries they're much better at respecting the elderly and taking in their parents, and many European countries are better than those of us in the United States. So if we at all can, if we're capable of caring for our parents, it's something that we should do. I know I took in my dad his last 9 months of life. He had nowhere to go, even got kicked out of assisted living, and you know, where he was up and at him, and he just couldn't take care of himself anymore, and he lived with us till he passed away. And my mom you know, tried to live on her own as long as she could, but I had a similar experience to you. I had to just insist on, you know, to the place that she was at an assisted living, and she was in the sick unit when she was sick, and they said you couldn't come in and visit, and I said, my mom is dying. I'm coming in to visit. I don't care if I have to wear I had to wear all this, like a hazmat suit or anything. Feet, you know, my feet had to be covered. My face had to be covered. I'm like, I'm going to hold my mom's hand. I'm going to sing her songs. I'm going to pray with her. And was able to do that at her the last night. She did pass that next morning. So it's difficult right now during COVID with, you know, to have a loved one in the hospital or in a nursing home. And it is also the right thing, if we can, to take care of our loved ones at home, especially in their last years. And there's a wonderful movement of hospice, as well as home care, as well as palliative care movements, where you can keep a person home and get the help that you desire or need by nurses stopping in and helping you do that, as well as organizations that might offer some respite care as well. So I like your call out for taking care of your parents in their elder years, and what a hero you are. May God bless you with many graces for taking care of your mom for 23 years. God bless you, Rehad. Thanks for the call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Teresa from Connecticut, listening on Sirius XM Radio. Teresa, you are on the air now. Thanks for calling. You wanted to address an earlier caller about creation and believing in God, so go ahead. Tell us what you're thinking, Teresa.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. I was also listening to the last caller, and I just have so many other thoughts that came up in regard to that because it's also pertinent to what's happening in my life and taking care of my husband, who is now 86 and has Parkinson's from a exposure to Agent Orange. And other times, and I'm also a registered nurse, and when I also had to put him into the hospital for different emergencies or something, and I had the same experience with the last caller had, with they just kept wanting to put him into a nursing home, and they just kept asking about, you know, what is your request for his end of life, and but it wasn't even just once or twice, it was like four or five, six times during the course of his hospitalization. And thank God I prayed about it because this was prior to the lockdown. And I, you know, said, what should I do? Because this was before, you know, we knew that there was problems coming up with possible lockdowns and that, but I did not, and affecting nursing homes as well. And they wanted to put them in a rehab, which is really a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And they, I just prayed about it, and I decided, no, I'm going to take them home. God will help me through this. I was able to get nursing care for 2 weeks and round the clock. Thank God I was able to afford that. But I was happy I did not put him in the nursing home because right after that they locked down and I was not able to, nobody was able to go in to see him. So I was always very grateful for that. But my experience after, during the pandemic, during the lockdown, he had to go in for an emergency surgery. And when I first went in there, the emergency room nurse was not going to let me into because he had to go through, and he went in an ambulance, and I followed behind. And they would not let me in the emergency room.
Mm-hmm. And well, your safety as well as the patient's, I bet.
No. The issue is that at that time especially, they didn't let me in there. He was not able. He had some dementia, so he wasn't able to properly understand what was going on with him, except that he had a pain.
Oh.
So what I questioned, and I said, well, I'd like to speak to the supervisor. And so she got the supervisor, and the head nurse there of the ER came out with her. And I asked the question. I said to the head nurse, why is he being admitted? Why is he in the emergency room? And she says, oh, because she's tired and that. I said, no.
Okay. The music's getting ready to play here, Teresa. And so I see that you went in there to be his advocate. An advocate is something that we need to be for the people that are sick. And so I can understand certainly why the hospital doesn't want someone in there, but if you, because they're concerned about your safety and the safety of all the patients in there, and they don't want COVID spread, but it's important to be an advocate as well so that you can speak for him and make sure that he's getting the treatment that he needs. So there must be some way that you guys can work that out with the hospital.
Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck.
Sometimes now I just think when I hear people who are baptized and they face a hardship or something or a disappointment in life, they say, forget it, I'm done with God. I'm done with God. I prayed and I didn't want this thing to happen and it happened, so forget him. And people walk away. Or there's sickness or there's disease and there's trial. Friends, we live in a fallen world. This is not the place where we're going to find our ultimate comfort and happiness. Jesus did not promise us comfort and security and safety and fun and a jacuzzi, a limo ride in Disney World. He didn't promise us this kind of comfort. He said, I will give you a kingdom and everything that belongs to me, but you must first become my disciple. You must repent of your sin, change your heart, change the thing you love more than God, throw your idols on the ground, and put God first in your life. Enter His church and then follow Him on the narrow way. And He said, be assured, if you want to follow Me, it's going to cost you everything. And this is where the hostility of the world will come against you. Because the world hates Me, Jesus said. It hates Him. He's the one threat that the devil can't handle in this world.
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth, weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If He's God, He knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. You can learn more about my work at my website, sexrespect.com. Whether you want to sign up for life coaching or invite me to speak at your event or get one of my love ed books or sex respect or love and life, go to sexrespect.com. But for now, you can get some free, friendly advice at this toll-free number, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Gary from New York, listening on the Ave Maria Radio app. Welcome to the show, Gary. You had a comment today about that's very timely about today. I'm glad you called about that. Go ahead, Gary.
Yes. I can remember what I was doing 20 years ago. I was really thrilled when I got the, I had just gotten my scuba certification, and I was really thrilled. And that Tuesday morning, I talked to this friend of mine, was talking to a friend of mine on the phone, and she described what was going on.
The like bombings of the towers she was describing to you?
And then not long after that, the devil was making me feel like, well, you were happy about getting your scuba certification, and he was trying to, long story short, he was trying to convince me that when you're happy that bad things happen.
Hmm.
And
while the towers were being, while the airplanes were crashing into the towers, I mean, was 9/11 actually happening when he was convincing you of this?
No, it was not long after that happened.
I see no basis for that principle, certainly in our faith. When you're happy, bad things happen. I mean, that is nonsense as far as Catholic teachings are. God wants us to, you know, He made us to seek happiness. He made us to want the good. He made us to really want Him. You know, that as St. Augustine says, my heart will not rest until it rests in You, O Lord, that we want to seek Him, and He is all good. So when we're happy, bad things can happen anyway, whether we're happy or sad, but it isn't a cause and effect. It isn't that because we're happy, bad things will happen. So he was trying to tell you that something bad will happen because everything was going so well and that you deserve to balance that off or something? Is that what he meant?
Yes, I think, well, but for a while there, I was feeling really despondent. And and then I was, but then during that time, I came to realize that, well, those things happen because we live in a fallen world. And then one
exactly.
day I told that devil, enough. I'm going to be happy whether you like it or not.
Excellent. You did a good job on that one, Gary. Yeah, don't let the discouragement of the devil take over your feelings, your attitudes, and your approach toward life. And so it was good for you to acknowledge that, to realize where all that negative talk was coming from, that the devil is the author author of Discouragement and Despair, and we are here to be the Alleluia people and always have hope. I mean, things look pretty bad the day of the crucifixion. And then there was a pretty quiet day on Saturday, but Easter Sunday, Jesus did rise from the dead. And so to always live in that hope of the resurrection is what we're called to as Catholics. So I'm glad you got over that and remember where all that negativity comes from. And also that reality, you know, that due to living in a fallen world, you know, there was original sin. Everything's not going to be perfect here, but Jesus has redeemed all suffering as well. So God bless you, and thanks for sharing that story to remind us of what happened 20 years ago today at 9/11. I don't know if we can, if anybody will ever forget it. I bet everybody remembers exactly where they were, what they were doing when they got the news, but certainly was a moment to remember. What I remembered a lot is that so many people came to church. I mean, the churches were full. That our parish had a prayer service, and it was filled with hundreds and hundreds of people. So I was so glad that people did turn to God at that scary moment. So thanks for the call, Gary. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. There are a couple lines open waiting to hear from you. We had some people hang up here. Jennifer, Tim, and Jan hung up. If you guys want to call back, we'll put you at the top of the line. Billy, hang on. Actually, we can take Billy right now. Go ahead, Billy, with your question right now. Billy from Kansas had responded to helping her mom in her later days as well, responding to what we had just chatted about our last couple callers we had, and Teresa was caring for her husband. So go ahead, Billy. What did you want to say about that?
Yes, Colleen?
Yes, you're on the air now.
Okay, I just want to say about to the gentleman that called here a little while ago about taking care of his mom for 23 years.
Well, go ahead.
My feeling is that, and I know I've had that experience. I've been there. My mom, I took care of, died at home Christmas morning this last year, and she was 89, and she was ready to go. Her dementia had got the best of her, too, but she still, I think, knew what was going on, basically. But anyway, the point was, I was going to say to him, I know those feelings come up of sound like he had some regret, maybe going back to this vaccination. Is that the way I understood it?
That's what I understood, too.
Okay, well, anyway, I was going to say, I know that we all have those feelings sometimes, and that's part of life, and I know that, but I just hope and pray that he recommend that he goes to his room of prayer, and then what I do, I like to go to Matthew 11:28 and rely on Jesus' words that he more or less will carry you through the hard times in that scripture. And then from there, I was just going to say that basically, too, that Paul is a good example, too, of after you have mourned the death of your loved one or friend or whoever it is, that Paul taught us in Philippians, I believe it's chapter 3:13, to forget what lies behind and press on, you know, for the mark of the high calling of God and Jesus Christ. So I just want to say that I know I've been there, and want to encourage him to not to give up his hope and
very good
prayer going.
Thank you so much, Billy, for that encouragement. But you made an important point, too, by bringing up Paul's words to the Philippians, to forget what lies behind and move ahead. He made his decision, as all of us do, with all the information that we have, our well-formed conscience, the best of our ability, praying and asking God to enlighten us with the information that we have so that we can act on what we believe to be in that person's best interest. And if it doesn't turn out the way we wanted, it doesn't make it our fault. It still is a fact of life. And so to forget what lies behind and not take blame or guilt for something that we really weren't guilty for, and move ahead in hope, in praying for that person's soul, in somehow celebrating their memory, and somehow carrying on the goodness that they left in the world, especially if it's a parent. You know, think of all their good qualities and what they left you and what they taught you, and carry that on in a good way to make them proud of you and be the person you're meant to be that came from them. So we can carry on, forget what lies behind, and move ahead. So thanks for that message, Billy. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. Actually, we have lines open waiting to hear from you. We had three callers hang up, so if anybody waited a long time like you did first hour, you can get on right now before the show's over, so we know there's less than 15 minutes, 25 minutes wait. Give us a call at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with your calls on Masked Appeal in just a moment.
When you talk about the Reformation, you often hear it talk of five solas. Sola Scriptura, Sola Fide, Sola Gratia, Solus Christus, and Soli Deo Gloria. Catholics have no serious problem with Solus Christus or Sola Gratia. The problems are with Sola Scriptura and Sola Fide. Catholics will maintain that Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, is itself unscriptural. Where in Scripture does Scripture refer to itself as the only infallible authority that we have? It's also illogical. To say that you stand on Scripture alone presupposes that you know what Scripture is. And frankly, we don't know what Scripture is because it's a tradition that we've inherited. We don't establish it. We know what counts as Holy Scripture because Catholic bishops detected that certain texts were inspired by God.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Today is World Suicide Prevention Day. Experts in Finland report that the risk of death from suicide within a year after an abortion is more than seven times higher than the risk of suicide within a year after childbirth. Sometimes the mother sees suicide as the only way of being reunited with her child and escaping the daily pain that the abortion brings. I deprive my child of life, she thinks, and therefore I don't deserve my own. But while abortion ends the life of a child, God's powerful grace enables the life of that mother to go on. As she regrets striking out at the life of her child, she also realizes she has no right to strike out at her own life. Both lives belong only to the Lord. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
The Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I'm broadcasting today from Salt and Light Radio in Idaho, where I'm here to speak at the Idaho Catholic Women's Conference coming up here real soon. Actually, they got started without me while I'm on the air, so I'm the second speaker. Well, I guess the third speaker. We start with the Bishop in Mass, and then Leah Darrow, and I'll be speaking later, and Sister Mary Eucharista will be speaking after lunch. So a great day here in Boise, Idaho. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. Wonderful, wonderful people. So it's a pleasure. Thanks for hosting our show today at Salt and Light Radio in Boise, Idaho. But for now, we still have time for some calls at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Some of the callers that hang up, I can quickly address those. Jennifer from Kansas, listening on Sirius XM 130. She said her daughter is gay and now engaged. She wants to support her, but isn't sure what to do as far as their wedding and future family events. Well, just in general, Jennifer, this is not really a wedding. It's not really a marriage because there is a certain act that consummates a marriage, that makes a marriage what it is, that the couple performs as male and female unite, and that is physically impossible to happen with two people of the same sex. And so in terms of what a marriage really is, we can't redefine marriage because God is the one that wrote the language of marriage right in our bodies. And so you can tell her that you love her and you hope that she finds her way, and you don't really celebrate masturbation. And that's what their pretend wedding is about. If you can break that to her really gently and say that this is not really a marriage because you can't unite. So why are you trying to say you're uniting socially or legally when you really can't unite your two bodies? So also offer a little bit of respect for her love, but not respect for her lifestyle, and say maybe she's a good friend and you shouldn't have sexualized that relationship. It could have been a very good friendship. And so you don't really have to attend because you don't want to pretend it's a wedding. It's like that book, The Emperor's New Clothes, you know. So just say, I can't really attend because it isn't really a wedding, although I love you very much and I hope you you get the help that you need to come to your senses and live the life that God wants you to live, even if it's a life of celibacy and a single life of service. So that would be a short answer to that, not knowing all the circumstances. Someone called in, Tim called in from Idaho, saying that the statistics from the CDC website are on, there are statistics for, on the coronavirus. We talked about those earlier on the CDC website, so that's a help as well. Okay, we have Bill from Idaho on the line, listening on Sirius XM 130. Welcome to the show, Bill. You're on. Oh, you have a comment, not a question, so go ahead with your comment, Bill.
Yes, I just wanted to thank you for your ministry today at the conference there for the women. I'm really grateful that the Idaho's allowed a in-person conference. I've been to many conferences for the men, and these conferences that are virtual just seem to lose it for me. I don't seem to bond with the people, and I'm just grateful that that's been allowed to happen and for your ministry. My wife and her best friend are there today.
Okay. Thank you so much, Bill, for that compliment. I'm glad that your wife and her friend are there. And I certainly agree with you about the live conferences versus virtual conferences. Virtual, you don't get the energy. You don't get the feel, especially when the Holy Spirit is so present. If you have hundreds of women or men at a men's conference in the same room, you feel that spirit. And you just don't get that energy through the internet. It's a backup plan for when we can't get together, but it is wonderful to be here live. I know so many events were canceled last year, and even I did one talk at the Northwest Indiana Women's Conference, and there was a church for 1,000 people, but we could only have 250 in it. We had to be social distance, we had to wear masks, and they also live streamed it. So we tried to get the spirit, but it was hard when you're all far apart with a mask on. So it's wonderful today to be in Idaho, where we can have a live conference full of the spirit with the bishop there, mass, wonderful talks and encouragement, enrichment, good food, good fellowship. So I'm looking forward to that today. So thanks, Bill, for calling in and thanking me for my ministry. I thank you for your appreciation. Okay, let's see. Who's next on the line here? We have Rose from Texas. Welcome to the show, Rose, listening on EWTN. You have a comment as well. So go ahead, Rose.
Can you hear me?
Rose, yes, I can hear you. Speak up a little bit. You're on the air now. So go ahead with your question, Rose from Texas.
Okay. Well, I was telling the gentleman who took my call, my husband committed suicide last year.
Oh, my goodness.
So, he, you know, when I found him, he wasn't completely dead, and I tried to revive him. And the next day, he was pronounced brain dead to me. And it happened, you know, right when COVID was spiking in our city and all over the world, actually. But so I didn't spend much time with him. He was cremated because he went ahead and I had him be an organ donor. So I still have his ashes, and I haven't had a funeral service because of the pandemic. And now his sister and his mother are not talking to me.
No.
And they're blaming me for his death.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. And that adds more pain to the grief to start with.
Yeah. So I've been praying for them, you know, to try to forgive them. And I know that they're in pain. You know, we've lost somebody dear to us. And I know that hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just trying to go to church.
Okay.
Yeah. I go to church, you know, at least 3 times a week, and my faith in God is the one thing that has really pulled me through this.
Oh my goodness. Okay, suicide. Yesterday was Suicide Awareness Day, and some people are more aware of suicide than we would like to be. But that your husband committed suicide last year is a grief enough without the family blaming you. So you're getting the double grief there. So I'm sorry for that, and my sympathy to you. But the more that we understand suicide from many perspectives, a spiritual perspective, a counseling perspective, a physical perspective, a neurological perspective. Quite often, the church has discovered that instead of thinking that this person despaired like Judas and it was a mortal sin where they go straight to hell, the church has thought differently about that in the last 30 or 40 years, saying that suicide usually only occurs when something is not going right in their mind, that there is either a tinge of mental illness or a medicine or a drug that brings those thoughts to them. So it isn't always out of despair or rejection of God. So sometimes people feel guilty without having to feel guilty because there's nothing that you did or could have done or could have changed. Now, there are a lot of studies, especially in youth, in youth suicides, that you know, lack of love or alienation, you know, was caused by bad relationships, you know, with their siblings or with their peers or with their parents. But still, that isn't always a cause for one killing themselves. And so to recover from suicide takes a lot of faith, a lot of hope. Faith and hope and trust in God, and a lot of love, as you say, to forgive those that are trying to blame you. And so realize, first of all, Rose, it wasn't your fault that he committed suicide. If you were, you know, living your life as well as you could and being as good a wife as you could, there's no reason to have any regrets. And so continue to pray for those people that are blaming you, forgive them, and pray for your husband who did commit suicide last year. And I have a couple books on suicide, and I'd like to send you one. It was a good Catholic book on how to respond to suicide. So if you'd like, Rose, to leave your name with our call screener and your address, leave your name, address, phone number with our call screener when I get back home to Illinois. I will send you one of those books about suicide. I'll call you and ask you which one you want and send that to you. It's from a good Catholic publisher, and it might help you get through this. So, Rose from Texas, if you would leave your phone name, phone number, and address with our call screener, and they can email it to me, and I'll get that when I get home, and I'll send you a book about recovering from suicide of a loved one, if that would be helpful. So God bless you. Okay, we're going to go to our break now. We'll be back with our last segment of Masked Appeal right after this message.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarini here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children, and I will tell you this. Two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
When I first became a mom, I had no idea how much my daughter would teach me. She's probably taught her dad and I as much as we've taught her. I have about 200 pages of things she has said over the years that have made us laugh. I mean, gut-wrenching laughs. But sprinkled in the humor are wise words from a little girl. I realize I get the most insight from her during our end-of-the-day prayer sessions. It was something a volunteer from the Men of the Sacred Heart Ministry made note of during a prayer session at my house one afternoon. Yep, he was right. As she recited what she was most grateful for and what she's most concerned about, I realized that prayers were messages to her parents. When she started to pray for me, asking God to relieve me of my stress, I took note. God speaks to us through others. It took a little girl asking God to help her mom for me to notice how my behavior affected her. Ask your children to pray out loud with you. You'll be amazed on what you learn. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
segment already of Mass Appeal, where you got some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective, and we'll be back again. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. If you want to learn more about my work, you can go to my website at sexrespect.com, where you can sign up for life coaching, or you can sign up for a speaking engagement for your parish or your organization, or you can get some Love and Life books or Sex Respect books. Or you can do a lot of things. Just browse around. And today, if you're in Idaho, come over to the conference sponsored by Salt and Light Catholic Radio, the Idaho Catholic Women's Conference, going on already. I'll be over there soon and give my talk, The Four Heart-Healthy Habits of Holiness. But for now, I did want to finish that list of vices so that... And virtues that overcome the vices, because virtues can conquer vice. We talked about that in the beginning. So when we're following yesterday's and today's gospel about, getting the log out of our own eye or building our foundation on rock, we want to build our foundation of our life on virtues, because virtues conquer vices. So based on truth, virtues reveal those deceptions that vices feed upon, because vices are really distortions of what is good. It's a twisted thing. It's not necessarily the opposite of what it's good. A vice is a distortion of what's good, beautiful, and true. So just like if you've ever been to one of those old circus mirror amusement parks where that distorts your image and makes you like look super fat or super short or crazy thin or stretched out, you know, really tall, the vices present a warped vision of yourself. So if you embrace this vice, you don't see yourself as God wants to see you. So when we have good habits, the virtues replace those patterns of behavior that are robbing us of our joy, our peace, and sometimes our health as well. So these virtues directly counteract the vices by directing our energy, our intellect, and our will toward what is truly good for us. So on that list I was telling you of virtues that conquer vices, we have a few more. So if you're struggling with envy or greed, a virtue that conquers both of those is gratitude. Gratitude is easy. It doesn't even cost us any time. But I know gratitude is a word that is a very positive word. Even if you study linguistics and brain science, it's a word that feeds us well. It has the right kind of signals. It helps our mind. Gratitude changes our heart. It makes us grateful to God and everything around us. And so that can conquer envy and greed. Here's another interesting virtue that some people don't even remember as a virtue, because it's not necessarily a cardinal virtue or a moral virtue, but the virtue of wonder conquers intellectual pride and cynicism. And I was mentioning last night at our talk about helping kids navigate this brave new world, this strange new world, I should say, how wonder, we need to develop that gift of wonder, you know, and that conquers intellectual pride, thinking we know everything, or cynicism, being negative about everything. So if you're becoming cynical, develop that wonder that you had as a child. You know, think of, I mean, go out in the backyard and build something out of cardboard and wood and sticks and stones and plant something in the garden and pray about it and plant more seeds and see what God can do with small seeds. You know, wonder about the sky, learn more about astronomy. You know, so use that gift of wonder that we have and get into nature. You know, here that it is summer or moving into fall, or learn about amazing things. Get out an encyclopedia, go to the library, or just get to know people better. So wonder conquers intellectual pride and cynicism. And then the last on the list, it says that cooperation, the virtue of cooperation, conquers laziness, pride, and cynicism. So cooperation conquers laziness, pride, and cynicism. So if you're finding yourself cynical, or prideful, which stubbornness is part of pride, or just lazy, not becoming who you're meant to be, not doing what God intends you to do with the energy that you have, or not even taking care of yourself so you have the energy you're supposed to have, the spirit of cooperation. So when your parent asks you to do something, cooperate right away. Your spouse asks you to do something. What if instead of whining or saying you'll do it later, you just got right up and did it? And those are virtues that can conquer some of those vices, and we will actually have a happier life. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, reminding you to be more like Christ so we can be Christ to others.
Mast
Appeal is produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Copies can be purchased or free downloads can be found at the Ave Maria website, AveMariaRadio.net. If you have a comment or question for Colleen, write to Colleen at AveMariaRadio.net or Mass Appeal at AveMariaRadio.net. And listen for Mass Appeal Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 Eastern Time for free friendly advice from a Catholic perspective.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. President Biden is calling the Texas heartbeat ban unconstitutional. Saying so may not make it so, but U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland has filed suit against Texas. He is attempting to use the Clinton-era 1994 FACE Act as premise for this new lawsuit, something criticized as more show than substance. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris invited abortionists to the White House to celebrate the demise of those lives lost to abortion. One Texas abortionist tried to say that the Texas abortion law, now 10 days old, threatens lives. The Seventh Circuit says Indiana restrictions on telemedicine chemical abortions